It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Oh, here I am again. Good Lord. All right, Helen has been waiting for a long time in Wisconsin. Hello, Helen.
You. Roy, I think I have some... Well, I had an exorcism when I was started meditating many, many years ago.
On your own?
It did me good to listen to that or see that lady on the seminar. I watched.
Oh, you did see that, yes.
Oh, yes, I did.
She's a beautiful lady.
Yes. It was the thing that helped me the most was something similar to that happened to me.
Good.
The situation, though, is I'm not too sure that I had only one in me because either
that's possible.
That or it got back in me.
Either way.
I'll
ask you a simple question. How many years ago was this?
It happened in 1966. What is that? 45 years ago.
Wow.
So, right when I first started to meditate.
That's a long time ago. What symptoms do you have?
What do I have now or what happened then?
Well, no, what happened, what symptoms do you have now that makes you think that maybe you...
I write to you a lot and I send you articles.
Oh, I know who you are, yes, of course.
Oh, you do? Okay, then that makes it more clear.
Well, you get caught up with me.
I agree.
You put me on a pedestal and then you put me in the way of God.
I
won't take that role. You notice I don't respond to you anymore.
I do know that, yes.
I understand why.
The thing that I've had trouble speaking verbally, saying my thoughts usually.
Well, but the point is, you see, I don't have a trouble, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
My reason for it is that my job is to, when I see an opportunity to help somebody, whether they accept what I say or not, I won't be offended. All I do is offer an opportunity, and if it works, that's good. If I'm rejected, I did my best. I have to, and if I'm dealing with a dangerous person or a mean person, or see someone doing wrong to another person, I will step in to help a weaker person from someone playing a game with their head. And because I always do things because it's right. And so I speak up because it's right. But you are selfish. You may have had a trouble when you were a child.
When you
couldn't speak up to anybody and they wouldn't let you speak and they robbed you of your voice. So you never knew whether you're going to say the right thing or the wrong thing, so you're better off being quiet.
I guess so.
But you're still 5 years old, see? And and you're still being playing it safe. So if you don't say anything, and you can see it, but you end up judging it, and judging the evil that you see, but not doing anything about it, and then it makes a home in you.
Yes, it definitely makes a home in me.
Well, that's how it does it.
Then I judge that.
Yeah, that's right. Judge it back.
I judge it back. I'm my worst enemy. But
the point
thing
is
that I even ask about right now was. I was sitting here, and all of a sudden, my solar plexus is kind of acting up, and I watch myself very closely. And, I'm getting a little twitchy, and that's the only thing that I was questioning, if there's still something.
Well, what you need to find what love is. So
I would love to find what love is.
But love is, I don't know, I don't know what inclination of the soul is. I cannot explain. I can explain the psychology of everything, and if you have a good inclination, you can say, "Oh, I get that. I didn't know it was that simple," kind of thing. And then you're okay. But there are a lot of people so trapped they can't even hear my voice. They come for 20, 30 years, and they drag themselves in, and then one day they get better, or they don't. And I've been around for 52 years.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
And people are still coming after 40 years.
Yes.
But they've got nowhere else to go. They know they've been so possessed. So, look, I'll give you a story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see this man anymore because he's better. But he was a lean, skinny, what do you call those creatures, the praying mantis look, skinny.
Oh, yeah.
And but good guy, always people-pleasing, afraid to ask for money when he works because he don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Mm-hmm. So he would never admit what is wrong, but he was possessed. But he was hiding a secret. And it took him 35 years from, I think, from Vietnam. He was a machine gunner, and he heard the enemy, and he was so afraid to die, he just let it go and threatened the danger of the whole camp. And that's all that was a terrible thing for him, to be terrified into not firing that machine gun or going to, you know, letting everybody know he could hear the enemy coming. When he admitted that,
the foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartaches, bad habits, fears, and anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you. But if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Call Roy at 800-866-8883 between the hours of 9 p.m. and 11 p.m. West Coast time.
Okay, now we're going to take some calls, 800-866-8883. I always get tangled up on those. We're talking about, you know, spiritual salvation, meaning my program began with me discussing psychiatry and psychology with you and why it fails. It always will fail. It's never done anybody any good. All it does is make people rich, the people who practice it. And they don't know they're doing more harm than good. You spend your time 10 years with a psychiatrist, and then you've got post-traumatic stress disorder, and you get drugs, and then all that does is make you want to commit suicide even more. It doesn't work. They know it. They're helpless, hopeless. I come along, and I found a way to do it just with a CD. Because how do I do this? I don't do it at all. I get the person to do it to themselves. I show them there's a little door inside. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Seek and you shall be fine. You know, seek and you shall find. Ah, so that's very important. Precursor to knock and the door will be opened. And somebody will answer your cry. Okay, now that is code. Now I found the code for that. And the rabbis and the priests, priestcraft have hidden it. Now, I don't accuse them of hiding it. I'm saying long ago it was hidden. And all they got was verse and chapters and sing songs and boogie-woogie down the aisle. You're not going to save your country that way. And you may be a devout Christian, a devout Jewish person or whatever, and a devout, good-hearted Muslim, and because there are them. But you're all divided. And even you're divided even in different synagogues and different churches and different denominations. And what's worse, you're caught up in verse and chapter and not with the Spirit. And now the Spirit is like sing-song, the Spirit of everybody singing songs, Onward Christian Soldier, and that kind of stuff. And boogie-woogie down the aisle. I can't just imagine Jesus Christ could do boogie-woogie down the aisle trying to save everybody. He had something to tell us, and he had to be believable in the saying of it. He had to be very concise, and he has to have the power. Not just the words, the music goes with the words. And the music that goes with the words that go with the music, instruct the soul, gives a new instructions to the soul, new life to it, and then gives it a resonant frequency with God again, so the frequency that which binds you to the world is broken, and you are saved. Now, when you're saved, you cannot sin. Now, do not bother me by calling me and say, There's no such thing as people are perfect. Jesus expressly said, be you therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, if you knew what perfect was, it isn't being God. It's like, because God is perfect all the time. He doesn't have to take a journey to be perfect. But we are children of light. So we, through the suffering, obedience through our suffering, bears witness to the fact we are listening to him and we're being tried. We are being tried. The other people will try you. Doesn't mean to say you will get better, that the salvation will make you better. It is the persistence, the resiliency, the ability to slough off temptation and pressure and cruelty and respond with calm, dignity, without effort. No effort, like you don't give a damn. And there's nothing worse for a person who's trying to get you, take your energy, because they can't hurt you, and they can't exist until they can find an somebody they can feed off of. They can torment and degrade, even if it's your own parents, your sister, your brother. That doesn't mean they can't be cured. We all have to go through it, and some of us wake up and some of us won't. When you meet somebody who doesn't want to wake up and they want to hurt somebody, you can actually help somebody, give them good advice, get in the way of that bully, but not in a foolish way. You have to have the grace, the authority in you. Jesus had the authority when everybody wanted to stone the woman who was accused of adultery. So he stands in front of them without a machine gun. and they start to criticize him. He says, get out of the way, we're going to stone you. And they quote him the law. He said, yes, you got the law. You're quite right, that is the law, to be stoned. And so he says, so if that's the law, the first who is without sin cast the first stone. And guess how it said it? He had the power to say it, the power to do it. And it was effortless. And they all dropped their stones one by one, beginning with the oldest. I've always known that about old tukakas. All right. So, being perfect means you are saved from being imperfect. See? In other words, you are becoming imperfect or you are becoming perfect. So it is a matter of becoming one or the two. You're becoming worse and worse and better and better. And everything works for you. Everything works for good, no matter how bad it is, for those that love the Lord. It really is right. And also, revenge is mine, saith the Lord. I will pay back. I find that absolutely flawless. If you get revengeful and angry and get even, there's two people dying. The person who intimidates you and the person who is intimidated to get even. Or go along to get along. Or to become one of them. And seeking approval from the person who's implanted their identity in you and now cries out for love for it, nurturing. That's the nature of all the problems on earth. That's all. And I could make short work. So, if I was to give the CD to the insurance companies, medical insurance, half the country would be better in 6 months. Everything. Half of everything better 6 months. That's my boast. Simple. Cost you very little. I'm not giving it away anymore. I just won't do it because then it's just like giving it away makes it worthless. You've got to give something for it. If you can't afford it, give a nickel or pay the postage. So, but if you will, I appreciate you sending a good check so I can give it to the military and to veterans, please, because they are the ones. They're the proving it. They are saying to the world, it works for us. All right, now. Now, let me see. Who's next? Coax me, Paul. Which coax me? Line 5? Okay. Okay. When I see the word name D, I always think, hey, diddly D.
Hello?
An access live for me. How are you doing, Dee?
Hello, Roy, can you hear me?
Sure, sure.
Yes, that's what you said to me last year when I called. Hey, Dee.
don't hear too many people with the name Dee.
Listen, I have a brief question and a problem. And okay. If the question doesn't take too much time, may I also present a problem not related?
Oh, no, the problem is more important.
Well, you know, in a way it hinges on it.
All right, but do both then. Give me a little. Okay. Give me the problem first.
My question is, this business about you are saved already is now. This is to me. This is an intrinsic value. Now, if one has a little problem believing that this could be so wonderful, so true, you have doubt. Does your doubt annihilate, kill the possibility?
No, you can't kill you. No, you killed your opportunity temporarily. You may have thousands of opportunity, but until you can catch yourself doubting. See, in other words, every time you doubt what's right, the doubting what's right means you believe what's wrong, and you therefore go astray, and then you create problems. And when you've got problems, your conscience comes back, or consciousness begins to feel conscience. Conscience is trying to save you. But the spirit inside you that got into you, because you listen to it, because you have hearkened unto my voice. See? Thus thou art.
Isn't being saved, if Jesus saved, we are saved on that back, such an intrinsic value that...
Oh, it is. But it takes a great deal of suffering for most of us to cry out for that and to recognize that nobody really has it to give us. I haven't got it to give you. When you watch that, listen to that exorcism, the person says, help me, somebody. I said, nobody can help you. Help me, I can't help you. You're crying to the wrong people. So, God help me, I said, now you're getting closer. I was coaxing her, see, in the language. But she was ready. These were not just words. She was on a track. There was something on inside that woman that was, if I wasn't talking, she would listen to it. She couldn't help but listen to it. She would struggle against it, and she'd get worse. And she was miserable for 50 years. Now she's completely better. Like that.
Yes, that was shocking. I heard that. But again, Roy, please, my question really is, certainly doesn't such a value from...
But you're saying that. I say to my wife, who is a bit troubled about such things, when I try to show her something, when she makes a mistake, it is a duty of someone who loves you, to admonish, to confront in a proper way. But if a person isn't ready, if a person's full of judgment, like she is, so the tendency is to feel that I'm a threat, that I'm always complaining. I'm not. Then I said, now look, if you really want to be saved, I would say to her, you have to stop and listen to what I'm saying. But if you don't stop, as I start to speak to you about this, as I've done thousands of times, if you don't stop, you cannot cross over. If you just take an offense to it, as if there's something wrong with me for seeing something wrong with you, and if you just use it as a means to keep judging me, because I keep nagging you, but I'm not nagging you, I'm persistent. I love you. I love my wife, so I never... She says she knows that she wouldn't be around today if I didn't protect her from herself. See, she's smart and she's intelligent, but she's willful. And the willfulness has her, and it would have me. So it gives me she gives me a hard time, a lot, several times a day, for 60 years, almost. But still, we have a nice family. And I have to raise my voice a few times. And it's not, that's an understatement. But the thing is, it's my duty to speak to her, say, you can't do that. If I should slack off doing it because I'm getting weary, I'm selfish. If I'm going to have to worry about what she thinks or anybody else thinks, then I have no faith. The fact that I am right about this, that I have to confront her. I don't have to confront you. You're a stranger. I mean, I don't have to tell you anything, except if you're harming someone, I may get in the way and save a little child or something like that. But she's my wife. I live under the same roof. And my children, I have an obligation to stop them from harming themselves up to a certain point and do it in the right way without creating a bigger problem, in a way that they will actually look at themselves and respect their father for that. They may not like it at the time, but I don't care if they don't like it. It's almost like they raise a voice and they'll have a few words. They slam the door. A few minutes later, the door will open and come, "Sorry, Dad. You're right." And then they love you for that, because they're possessed. In those moments of willfulness, they're possessed. So by slow increments, you actually get a person to see that, get the whole enchilada. It's not just me. It's the fact that they recognize in me that what has helped them is to stand my ground to the point where I don't let them have their way through me. They would hate me if I would let them have their way for me. I'd be a weak father. No, I'm not a strong father in that my will trumps their will. That the evolution of wills, that's dangerous. No, I will not let their will pass me. You cannot pass this. You cannot have this way. See that?
Yes.
That's love. That is love and persistence. I never get tired of it. Ever. Never. I don't even know I'm doing it most of the time. So easy.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but...
Do you? No. I've answered all your questions all at once.
I'm still trying to ask you, does not this gift from God of being saved certainly supersede someone's temporary doubt?
Yeah. No, we mean, no, supersede temporarily, but not necessarily. In other words, I just said, when you're dealing with a person who's very willful, I never doubt what I see and what I must do. The other person is willful and wants to have their way, and the only way they can have the way, I'm the gate, they have to go through me. I have to allow for it.
Okay,
now, so therefore, for a moment, if I am weak, my son, my daughter, my wife, will and I yield to that, I'd feed myself to it, and now they are worse, and I'm worse off also. But if I'm strong, now they may not appreciate their father, and I'm speaking in family terms. They may not, my wife may not appreciate her husband for another 60 years, and I don't care. But they don't have to get salvation right away. They have to go on their merry way and make their mistakes, and there I'm on their doorstep, and I'm always there when they need me. And eventually they come to me, as they maybe take 30, 40 years before they come to me. See, I wait. God waits for me. I wait for my family. You can't impose it upon them. You cannot train them like a dog. It has to be a crisis in their life that comes from not listening and remembering, I know what my father said. See, his father's dead now, but suddenly the voice, the thing I put in them, in a sense, they remembered what I said. It comes to them. Your salvation is when the salvation, the temporary salvation you have, is when your father or mother is a good person, or your friend is good enough to be brave enough to admonish you. That is the secret. One of the founding fathers, I forget which one, says the bravest thing a person can do is to admonish their friends when they're wrong. Because it means you're not afraid of losing them. It means you're not caught up in their approval. It means you're a real friend, and you don't want to see them go astray, and you're going to weather their anger towards you, which most assuredly will happen, but then they think better of it, either next 5 minutes or the next 5 years. You're talking about delayed. You are saying, I'm helping. It's hard to answer your question because a person can get better immediately, and then a person could think about it and be troubled by what you said, but not go for it. And it may go on for years and years and years and years. Or it may, you may think to himself, now why did I get angry with Roy Masters? He didn't do anything wrong with me. He told me the truth. And all of a sudden it dawns on him in the shower.
Well,
see, it could be anywhere. Well, I don't know what you're trying to say. I honestly don't. The way you're phrasing the question is impossible to ask.
I guess I'm saying, does your doubt put the kibosh on your salvation if you're struggling to really believe this?
Well, just temporarily. Yes. For the next 50 years, if you keep struggling, you don't trust God. Struggle means I'm going to save myself.
No, certainly.
No, but that's what it means. You don't understand your own language when you're struggling. It's not your language, it's the thing that makes you struggle. It tempts you. That part of you that keeps you from salvation is the other fellow inside you.
Okay.
So it will keep you, but salvation is always ready for you when you wake up to it. That's why I say to a person, if you can be aware that it's not you that said those words or did that thing, but sin that made a home in you, if you can separate from it and don't be hard on yourself, don't struggle with that self. That self, you cannot, you're a slave of it, and struggling only makes you more of a serf, a slave. Once you begin to understand that you are, that this other self, you have an identity crisis, it's a modern term for it, identity crisis is possession. And once you see it's not you, once you see that it's not you, and even the excuse it gives you, the rationalization it gives you, your thinking, is not yours. Once you see you've never had an original thought in your head, bingo.
Okay. Now, I guess I better wait till another time to present my problem because of the time you spent. So I will do that,
do that
another night. And thank you very much.
Very nice of you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Donations. Who will give me a donation? Who will give a donation to keep a soldier from dying, committing suicide? The VA is not going to give him anything. So far, Colonel Monaco and I, our foundation, our two nonprofit organizations, he's done all the hard work. He's everywhere, Fort Bragg, Fort Hood, Fort everywhere. And I got a nice little, I won't tell you about it. I'll get a little appreciation from the military. I could wear a certain hat when I go out places. Even though I never served in the American military, I served in the British military. But I got a nice hat. That's all I can tell you. All right, now, where was I? I forgot what I was going to say. Donations. Oh, that's right. 65,000 so far. We got 1,700 left before we get to 65,000. I've frozen those because I've got a plan that I'm working, and I'm going to offer them to the civilians very soon in a big campaign. I've taken the rest of the money I have that I have to put into CDs into a very special campaign. You'll hear about it. I'm not getting enough income to keep doing. I've spent myself dry for the prison ministry, radio programs, doing radio, it's very expensive, and a school that needs money. It's almost paying for itself, but it needs about almost $5,000 a month. And then I have to pay my lawyer. I had to fight the IRS for 10 years. It cost me $450,000. And guess what they wanted? I was sick for 3 years, so I wasn't on the podium every day, every Sunday. So they want to take my church status away for that. I took that all the way to the Supreme Court. I didn't have to because I wasn't a church only for 3 years. I was in a profit organization, so I wasn't standing to lose anything, but I wasn't going to put up with it. And so, and the Supreme Court almost took it. It wouldn't have made any difference because I was still a church, you see. But the point is, they're merciless and Gestapo-type people. I'd like to say, let's see them go by. Yes, We're living in dangerous times. And I think one of the most, you know, Herman Cain said it, you know, the IRS, get rid of them, Nazis. I mean, you get in trouble, anything, they accuse you of anything, and you need an attorney. Time you finish, it costs you a fortune. And they exaggerate. They always exaggerate the amounts and intimidate you. And to me, that should be against the law. Extortion with under color of law. I always think of that as extortion. If what I learn about extortion is if a public person in public office pressures you, intimidates you to submit to something, give money, even though he doesn't put it in his own pocket, it is extortion under color of law. I think the IRS are guilty of that. Every bloody one of them. So, Herman Cain, you're right on the money there. Okay, now, he also speaks about, I actually heard him say something interesting. He says, what did he say about, you want to know about how to help the brainwashed Democrats. Interesting word for a person running for office, especially the presidency, to actually say brainwashed Democrats. They are. But so are many of us in our own way, in our religious ways, in our stubborn ways. We're all brainwashed to play roles. Bully, cowards, mostly, if you want to make, you know, home in on the kind of person that behaves a particular behavior. Or has, you know, drinks or smokes, doesn't make a difference. You could be a slave, you could be a bully, and you can drink, or you could be a pervert, sexual pervert, doesn't matter. It'd be, the behavior is one thing. I mean, the peculiarities of your behavior. But the reason for it is that you're a bully or a coward. So you can be a brave, nice person, or a very nice person, but actually cover up not so nice. So if you marry it, there it's, you know, you wake up one morning, and you heard me say it before, losing war you didn't know you're fighting. All of a sudden, the mask comes off that person. And we'll talk about those things. I mean, I can't help but upchuck these things. But now I'm going to take some more let's take my. Oh, I'm still got a minute break, have we? Okay. So therefore, please. See, I'm actually wandering around in my 4 minute break, a bit philosophizing with you, when I should be asking you for money again to help soldiers. 18 die a day. That's about 112,000 every year. Kill themselves. And think of how many people in the civilian side, how many times they kill themselves. I hear it all the time. 20, 30 years ago, a million people committed suicide every year, the whole world. But it's getting worse now. This is a very dangerous world. We are killed and destroyed and made impotent and demoralized, sick, confused by a very subtle, a simple but subtle process, which I'm trying to expose on this program, and for which reason you should pay attention and get a copy of the CD called Coping Strategies and contribute it so at least I give one to a soldier.
Listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
This is Advice Line program number K6694. That's K6694. To order a copy of this program or to order additional materials, please call the FHU office at 1-800-877-3227 from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Hear that. All right. Now, although Jonathan is last call, I have to put him first because of the importance of it. Are you there, Jonathan?
Yes, sir.
You're a very good question, and that a person's born with, that's rare. That one out of every 150 kids is autistic, which I happen to know the statistic on that. I think I do, at least.
Okay.
The fact is that perhaps one of those, maybe less than that percentage-wise, is really born autistic, and not much you can do about that. But the others are made that way by their parents.
Well, I certainly get that sense in this case. More than anything, he was born that way. There's a real concern from my sister-in-law about this that my brother doesn't have. I see them as both possibly being responsible for it. I shouldn't even say possibly. I can strike that from the record.
Good for you.
But there's something very wrong with the way he wills things.
That's right. You got it. You got it. You've got it.
And the mother is the type that really tries to get my two nieces as well. I think she engineers it well for him to look like a bad guy too. So I think it comes from both corners. But
I'll tell you. Let me say something. I was watching a program on autism 2-3 years ago. I never forgot it. And you have the reporter and the camera. And this kid was bright, sharp. And a husband was weak, feeble, nothing. And the reporter didn't notice that she talked to the kid like a dog. And they're talking about autism as if she was the expert on the kid and the psychiatrist. That woman, I would like to knock her bloody head off. Pardon the.
No, unfortunately, I can't do that to my sister-in-law.
No, but that's I'm expressing a sentiment.
Sure. No, I understand. It's a little difficult to watch it. I can only do so much.
No, you need to speak up to it. If you were in my family, you better not do something like what you're saying without me standing right there and saying, you cannot do that.
Right.
I want you to look at this because they know me. And the kids know me. They'll come to me, and I'm on the warpath.
I'm
not an easy person to engage when I'm on the warpath. I really not. And I'm not violent. I'm not easy. I'm very persistent, overwhelmingly persistent. You have no idea how overwhelmingly persistent I am to the bad guys.
And they make it out as though
I don't care.
You're the bad guy.
No, I don't care. They go down in flames. I guarantee you your money back.
Well, I have to say, when I talk to her, she does things like puts them in one of the daughters in beauty contests. I spoke up about that, and boy, did I get a storm come at me from that one.
No, but the point is, how did you react to it?
Oh, I didn't. My brother was fuming. She was angry, and I didn't react.
And you were calm.
Yes.
And you say, could I have a cup of coffee, please? Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. You need to show that you don't care. You need to be pleasant and make them and shut them down.
Yes, sir. Well, that's where I need to do a better job.
You need to complete the job. Complete the job.
Yes.
I tell you a little story. Sometimes you have to wait for a while. I have a person who, for no reason, someone who knows me, friend of the family, an old-time friend of the family, suddenly stood up in church and stood up as a cult leader. And I don't know where he got that from, but he said that. And I have a difficult time in this town anyway. And so one day, many months later, we went to the same event together. And I turned around, and there he was. And instead of saying to him, Peter, is this correct? I looked at him, I smiled. He knew. I knew. I said, how are you, Peter? I put my hand out to him. And next week, I got a $300 check from him. Got it?
I'm sorry, actually. Could you say that? I missed the last part. You got
A week later, I got a $300 check donation to the foundation.
Oh, okay.
See?
Okay.
Okay. The pain was so great. He had some beef. He had to hurt me someplace. And I let it go. And but perchance, it had to happen. And it would happen in its own time. I had no grievance against him. But I turned around him and without any hesitation was pleasant. And I was pleasant. I held nothing against him. And he felt naked. And it was good for him. It was literally good for both of me to be the way I am. Him to feel the pain of it and see his own in the light in that moment where he couldn't say anything, couldn't fight me. He was stuck with it and he needed that salvation.
And you never really do know how they're going to react. You have no idea.
I don't care.
Anticipate it. Right.
I see when it comes time. I once if I'm bragging, please stop me. Okay?
Sure.
But when I was 50 years old, before I got sick and swimming in the canals in Ventura, see, I have a house on the water there, and I didn't pay a lot of money for it. I only paid $53,000 50 years ago. So I didn't want to. It's worth a lot of money today, but I don't want anyone to think I'm rich and wealthy and stuff like that. But anyway, it was a group of houses. No, not a new lot. It's a group of houses. What do they call it? A group of subdivision. Yeah, couldn't find the word. And then now there was a lot empty lot next door, and then there was a house, and it was infected by drug pushers, gangs, and it was a dead end street, and they were defecating next door to me, doing all kinds of unseemly things next to my house, and they were drag racing up down the street. And so one day I talked to the neighbors, but they're too frightened, and the police would come, but they weren't doing good. Have lookouts, couldn't catch them at it. So one day I stood in the middle of the street, and didn't move. They had to stop. They didn't like that, and they started doing their bouncing bonnets on their cars. I don't know what you call that, in front of my house.
Yes.
And so one day they were standing milling around in front of the house, about 20 or 30 of them, and I said to them, who's the biggest one of you? Who's your leader? I called out to them. And my wife says, Roy, Roy, Roy. I said, quiet. And he comes to me. And then we have a little conversation with him, and all of a sudden what you see is like high noon. There's a big guy and a little guy, me. I'm about 160 pounds. And suddenly, after 3 minutes of him talking to me and me talking to him, you can't see what's being said. He suddenly raises his hand to hit me, and then he couldn't hit me. He couldn't. And I said, see, I told you I'd make you do that. That's all you could hear. And he ran away. And he got on his motorcycle. And he drove off like he was seeing a ghost. And then I turned to the rest of them. And next day they were all gone. Now, in those moments, I have lots of stories like that. In those moments, I feel nothing. My feet are rooted in the ground, and that's where I am. When I make that call, I don't see anything wrong with it. I have no trepidation, no worry about outcome. It's always worked for me. Always. When I'm that way, it's not something I choose to do. Sometimes I find myself doing it. And not having any concern about outcome. And it always works for me. Always. Never fails.
That's where I fail. That's where I fail when I do. Is when that concern creeps in and I don't just notice it for what it is and let it pass and get caught up in it. That's where I...
Yeah, I don't even notice. I immediately know what to do without knowing what I'm going to do and what the outcome is. I'm not a bit concerned.
Right.
There's no fear. The other person's afraid. I'm able to manipulate that person. I don't know how I do it. I fully don't understand the force. I know it's there.
Right.
But the other guy doesn't understand his force, which is contrary to mine. So we're using different forces, are we? We are agents of different forces. It's a war of energy. It's God energy or the other fellow.
It is. It's amazing how you can see that, and you can be around people like that, and you can really see their energy. You can see those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they could feel mine. They could feel mine. People stay away from me. People go around me. I could tell you another story.
Sure.
And this one I don't think I ever told. Well, I gave a lecture in Las Vegas about 2 years ago, and I got to my hotel room, and as I was getting in my hotel room, another person who'd booked a room was adjacent to mine, just down the hall. He looked at me as if to try to identify me, but I remember him. Or is there something funny about it? Having breakfast that morning, he comes up to me and says, "Are you Roy Masters?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Don't I know you? Did we meet at Fort Bragg?" I said, "Never been there." So I talked to him a few minutes. I said, "How do you think you know me?" He says, "Well," I said, "What business are you?" "I was the military police." He was the military in Germany. He said, "All I can remember is that lots of pictures of movies were shown of me." And, I said, "I know what that is. You're a hitman." He said, "How did you know?" "Aren't you?" See, they didn't program him very well. I says, "Look, I'll tell you what. You go inside and take it easy, and we'll talk later." So I was trying to find out who the people were who good subjects for the meditation demonstration, clasping their hands. He sat throughout the whole morning with security watching, with his hands clasped, mesmerized, couldn't wake up. Because he had been mesmerized. And a person who's been mesmerized can be mesmerized. See that?
And he didn't sense any fear from you.
The conversation was the way it. I hate to put it that way. I don't want to say it. There's something I don't want to say, so I won't say it. But
okay.
Things shape themselves in many different ways. So it never happens the same way twice. So there's no plan of any kind. It's always brand new. And so if my adversary makes a plan, see, a lot of people try to, when they want to hurt you in some way, they try to read you. I don't even know, can't read myself. So you can't read me because I can't read myself. I don't have any game. So it's very difficult for a person to play with me. See? Oh, I hope that was helpful, my friend.
It was. Thank you, Roy. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Oh, yes. All right. Well, I do hope you're enjoying the program. And see, it's interesting to talk about stuff that you normally dare not approach. Now, we're a nonprofit organization and church, basically, but we are not like other churches. And we want to help you get well so you don't need us. And if you want to enjoy our company, that's nice. But if you want to belong, okay, so just send some money. And whatever you want to send, it will go for good causes. The first good cause is so we can eat 3 meals a day and drive our car and live in a house for me and my staff. But we don't. I can tell you that a union worker makes a third as much as me. The lowest union worker and fireman makes one third as much as I do. So therefore, and I've been doing this. I started the organization, and it would take me 20, 30 years to give myself a raise. And because I have a few houses, I don't take all I need. Otherwise, it would need it. See, so I've become independent, so if there's no foundation, I'm still okay. So that I don't need Social Security. I don't need it. And you shouldn't need it because you should save your money and spend it wisely and not waste it on wine, women, and song. Solomon says, "I've never seen the good begging for bread." You don't see that. They find a way. They'll find someone who loves them. They're never begging. It comes to them. It's always, all I need has always come to me. Even the people that work with me, they come to me. And especially with this last one, it was very, very clear that everybody was right in place with Gravity-Driven Universe. It's a brand new book. Part of it's brand new, part of it's 17 years old. But the second part is called Finding God Beyond Gravity. But the first part is physics, meaning a way to get electricity from gravity, to show a person why that's possible, how it's possible, in a way you've never, ever dreamed of before. And I've got it in two ways, in a philosophical way for the back of the book, and in a technical way in the front of the book. Okay, thank you. For theory. Thank you very much.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
This is Advice Line program number K6694. That's K6694. To order a copy of this program or to order additional materials, please call the FHU office at 1-800-877-3227 from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time.
Yes, please give a donation. Forget about it being tax deductible because, you know, Obama doesn't make it. He wants all your money. I understand that. But don't let that be the motive. Please support the foundation and keep a soldier from killing himself. Because the foundation is the only one that knows how it's done. Nobody knows it. Everybody knows they don't know it. Even the Veterans Administration, they know they don't know. They just do their best. They give pills that only hastens the process, makes people worse. We know how to fix it. But we don't get any money from the government. Government gives money to all kinds of silly reasons, but not the good one, our soldiers. Because I think our kind of government is threatened by those kind of soldiers, you see. So there's always a danger they might find who they are again. And that threat will threaten to upset things, you see. So now let me take my calls now. Go to my website, FHU.com, or my son just gave you the phone number. Please call during the weekend. Not weekend, Monday morning. Thank you. Okay, Dennis, and let me see. Oh, Dennis, you saw an evil spirit. I don't know, that's a great question. I've seen him too. Are you there, Dennis?
I am. Hi, Roy.
I'm sorry to keep waiting so long, Dennis. It wasn't a great question, sorry.
No, I thought it might not be, but and I didn't tell the screener. I saw Jesus too.
Well, it's possible.
I felt my spirit raising out of my body and rising up, and it was a really.
Well, the question is, did it result in something like being saved?
Did it result in saving? Well, I mean, my faith is solid. I feel like
Well, I mean, you don't have any drugs. You know how to deal with thoughts. You know how to deal with your, sexual appetites, and you know how to regulate yourself from the inside. You wouldn't need any laws to govern you if there was no law.
Right.
If it's true, that's a good thing.
I can't say it's completely true. I have some things that I know you say sometimes it doesn't do any good, maybe working on them is not the right thing.
No, working on them is, I know what you mean by it. I had an experience, so I wouldn't say I was saved. This is my experience. I'll share one with you. I'm sitting in my living room about 30 years ago, and I had my arms on the couch spread out like Jesus, relaxed. And my feet crossed like the nail was in there. I hadn't realized that was the position. And suddenly, I wasn't asleep. I felt suddenly momentum going at speed of light. Imagine that. And with no inertial consequences. And then suddenly I stopped dead. And then I couldn't open my eyes. And I could feel light all around me, and I heard a voice say this, Adonai Elohim. Now, being Jewish, I know that means God, God. And then I came rushing back, and then I opened my eyes. Bang, I'm back in the room. Huh, what happened? So I picked up the phone, called a rabbi. I said, Rabbi, what does this mean when you have those two words together like that? He said, when you use God and God, different words for God. One is Adonai is his real name. So, and I think one of them is a real name. I forgot my Judaism, so it's a long time ago. But one of them is a name. Adonai is what we use, I think, as a substitute for Elohim, which is the higher. You don't want to mention God's name, so you substitute. You can't be palsy-wowsy with him, you see that. So he said, when you use them that way, it means God is judge. See that? God, God. God is judge.
Uh-huh.
See, so then I got it. Then that was my... But that was a phase of my evolution, of understanding things. So experiences are phases which bring you to an ultimate salvation. It's a way. You get little visitations like that.
Right.
There's other little experiences I've had. So not any one of them is a salvation necessarily, but for me, I have another story. When I was, 14, 13, I had a Harry Potter school in Biggleswade, England, 60 miles from London. What a funny name. But it was really a Harry Potter school, exactly like it. Very big old house with secret compartments everywhere. And let's see now. Well, I forgot what the story was.
An experience you had.
Yeah, but I forgot what the experience was. Oh, yeah. No, I remember. No, I remember it. Yes, I was on that day. I was the librarian in the glass house connected to the house. I'll say this tomorrow. I can't tell you tonight. On Monday, I'll be back and tell you the story about a little bird that was caught in the conservatory, which is a glass house attached to the brick hole, the brick wall stone building. And I'll tell you about it on Monday. This will be a cliffhanger, I'm sorry, but we don't have much time. Thank you. Oh, well, I got time to tell you that, but not everybody will hear it. So, do you want to unbrainwash yourself? It's a little troubling. And success isn't always immediate. Some people it is. I find that the military are sort of more worthy than the citizen. A lot of them go to war to fight, not because to vent emotion like we do, but because they love their country and they love their God. And the disciplines in the military are just exquisite. And the respect they have for each other. We should have that for each other as civilians. But because of their valor, because strife and danger, it brings out the good. What does it say? There's something here. Ah, here it is. Charles Dickens. All of us have wonders hidden in our breasts, only needing circumstances to evoke them. Charles Dickens. He's right. And so, therefore, they have lots of events to call upon dignity, courage. We have very little in our life because we're too busy people-pleasing and getting what we want and willing each other. So, but they are obeying orders, and they, if they're told to die on a certain hill, they will. Because, you know, somebody has to be in charge of them if they're wrong. But they're doing it for good reasons. But they're also dying and suffering. And when I give them the CD, there's a sweetness in most of them. The ability, that quality of willing to sacrifice for their brothers and sisters, citizens, is a beautiful thing.